happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to look at a study from Texas A&M Research Center about how an indole, that's I-N-D-O-L-E, can reduce inflammation in fatty deposits. And I'll tell you about why a lot of Americans have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and what we can do with this indole compound found in gut bacteria and in cruciferous vegetables like cabbage, kale, and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts to help that. That's just one of many studies. We have a guest in the last part of our program today, Dr. Ken Stoller, medical doctor in Brisbane, California. He's a board-certified pediatrician. He specializes in functional natural medicine and in environmental activism. He is the founder and president of the International Hyperbaric Medical Association, having pioneered hyperbaric treatment for various conditions, including fetal alcohol syndrome, and having become frustrated with medical agency and association cover-ups and the corporate medical lobbying powers over the rapid rise in childhood development disorders. So he's taken on the medical establishment, and now the medical establishment out in California, the California Medical Board, is filing a case against Dr. Stoller for medically exempting children from receiving vaccines. He received his medical degrees from University of California, and we're going to talk with him. We're also going to have a couple interesting, really original discussions. One is from Suzanne Lee. It's about biofabrication. It's the next industrial revolution. So for those who are thinking, well, why don't we do something like planting organic cotton? No, not a good idea. Uses a huge amount of water and land. Now they can grow that cotton with bacteria in a laboratory in 1 or 2 days. Yeah. But what else are they growing? What else have they already grown? Clothes, dresses, jackets, sheets, all kinds of stuff. Bricks. Bricks that are 10 times stronger than a regular concrete brick. That'll be interesting. Also today, part one of a series. It'll be 7 parts on the coddling of the American mind, moderated by Malcolm Gladwell at the 92nd Street Y. So, and you'll have a chance to call in and share your points of view at different points in the program. But we always begin with the latest on health and healing. A new study talks about when people have a non-alcoholic liver disease, because most people have liver disease from, let's say, drinking alcohol. That's number one. Or viral infection like hepatitis, sclerosis of the liver. And they're saying, now there is a way of helping yourself. This was published, by the way, in the Peer Review Journal of Hepatology, by eating your cruciferous vegetables. Now, many of you I know are eating your cruciferous vegetables because you've told me. Cabbage, kale, mustard greens, watercress, and of course, broccoli and Brussels sprouts and broccoli sprouts. And based upon this research, they have found that it keeps you so healthy, and there's a special nutrient called an indole, I-N-D-O-L-E, and it can help prevent the disease in your liver. Now, the non-fatty acid liver disease occurs when the liver becomes marbled with fat, sometimes due to unhealthy nutrition also. Or if you take in a lot of meat, you're going to get the saturated fats in the meat, and that can cause liver disease as well. And if not properly addressed, that can lead to liver disease and cirrhosis and even liver cancer. Now, there's a lot of contributions to this, but fatty liver disease is 7 to 10 times more common in people who are overweight than the regular normal weight population. And driving this inflammation are macrophages, macro, M-A-C-R-O, phage, P-H-A-G-E-S. That's a type of white blood cell that normally battle infections. And this inflammation exacerbates liver damage in those with liver disease. In comes the gut bacteria. It can also have an effect, either positive or negative, on the progression of fatty liver disease. These bacteria produce many different compounds, one of which is indole. Now, this product of the amino acid tryptophan has been identified by clinical nutritionists and nutrition scientists as likely having a preventative and therapeutic benefit for people with liver disease. And this was a multi-level study, and it found that, yeah, eat your cruciferous vegetables and help prevent non-fatty alcoholic liver disease. From Roberto Lupoi University in Italy, a meta-analysis concludes lipid benefit from grape polyphenols. Now, this means the meta means many different studies looking for particular factors that can address why they got an outcome. And this is published in the Current. In fact, it's issue of the Journal of Clinical Medicine. And what we want to do is we want to lower our lipid impact in the body. And that's what it did. Grape polyphenols in men and women. And that's very important. First, they looked at all the articles. They found 24 articles that reported the outcomes of randomized and controlled trials comparing the effects of whole grape products, like eating a grape or having grape juice or grape seed extracts or grape skin. And they compare that to a placebo, or no treatment at all, on 1,205 participants. And the reports provide information concerning cholesterol. It dropped. High-density lipoproteins, a good cholesterol, increased. LDLs, the low-density lipoprotein, which leads to heart disease, dropped. That's good. Oxidative cholesterol dropped. So all the things, including triglycerides going down, were to your betterment. So reductions in total cholesterol, LDL, oxidative cholesterol, all this is good, simply from the grape. I mentioned that every day, without fail, I take grapes into my life. If I can get grapes that are fresh, good. Grape juice, that's always good. Grape concentrate, that's better. And, of course, grape powder is the most powerful of all. There's so much in the grape. It's just one of the 10 most perfect foods I can put in my body. Now, just to show you that wasn't an isolated study, University of California published an article in the Experimental Gerontology, and what they found is grapes could help protect against cognitive decline, and that means Alzheimer's disease. So this study had people in it, men and women with mild cognitive decline, and they were given a grape powder or a placebo, similar in flavor and appearance, but lacking the placebo, had no grape polyphenols. And as I've mentioned many times, it's the polyphenols in grapes that are so powerful. And it improved their cognition. That means it turned off inflammation in the brain. And this was assessed by PET scans that evaluated before and after treatment periods. So that's good. So get your grapes every day. From MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, comes a new study about infectious diseases. And this study is looking at how can we lessen the impact. especially when you go to airports, into a restroom, and they found, wash your hands. Yes, improving the rates of hand washing by travelers passing through airports could significantly reduce the spread of many infectious diseases. And the greater improvement in people's hand washing habits at airports, the more dramatic the effect on slowing the disease. So that's a big deal, especially what we have going on in Wuhan, China. And this was published in the Preview Journal Risk Analysis. And for those of you who have beards, there's a lot of bad in your beard and mustaches. Because how many times a day do you touch it? Well, the normal person with no beard or mustache touches their mouth and nose over 250 times a day. But if you have a beard, it's more because you're stroking it. And guess what's in the beard? Feces. Yep. And that is not cool. Because that means every time you touch the beard, you've reinfected your hands. That means everything you touch thereafter, you're a vector. You're spreading it. So, proper hygiene. The trouble is you can't really teach people not to touch their face. And they do. People cough in their hand and forget that they've coughed in the hand and then touch something, a doorknob. So be more hygienic. That'll help. From the University of Montreal, an article published in the Journal of Clinical Psychology, the omega-3 fatty acids help fight depression. This is terrific. You need the EPA and DHA. Those are two fragments within the omega-3 fatty acids. And that can help you with depression. And this was a randomized double-blind study where those who took the EPA, the omega-3 fatty acids, were able to substantially reduce their depression. And this was published in the Neuroscience and Therapeutics. Researchers at Ben-Gurion University in the Negva analyzed three studies that used EPA as a treatment for three different types of depression and exhibited significant improvement. That's terrific. Also, if you want to improve brain function, according to University of California, Davis, meditation offers science-backed benefits. And that's important. This is published in the Journal of Cognitive Enhancement. So meditation positively impacts cognition. And that could help a lot of people. Oh, and West Virginia University had a study that showed that chemical in just your normal drinking water is linked to tooth decay increase, especially in children. I told you, I never drink out of any faucet, except in my home because my water is filtered. This was published in Journal of Public Health Dentistry. There are chemicals in there. A lot of chemicals are in that drinking water. And just one of those chemicals, which is a poly, P-O-L-Y, fluoro, F-L-U-R-O-R-O, alkyl, A-L-K-Y-L. These are chemicals. They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere because they're used in the manufacturing process and they get into our water supply. That disrupts the bacteria in your mouth and that can increase your risk of tooth decay. And finally, from Jawala Institute of Postgraduate Medicine and Education Research in India, turmeric. Turmeric is what is the larger macro herb for the minor herb inside of it, the bioactive curcumin. So you have to take a lot of turmeric to get a little curcumin. I would rather take a lot of curcumin and to get what I need therapeutically. But still, it works. A study found that curcuma longa, more popular known as turmeric, can alleviate certain symptoms of type 2 diabetes, namely arterial stiffness and endothelial dysfunction. And that can contribute to cardiovascular disease. The findings strengthen the scientific evidence that turmeric, used in traditional medicine for thousands of years, has an important place in wellness and healing today. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Null. We're going to take a break. And when we come back in studio in New York City, we're going to be joined by Victoria. She is the lead counsel that has been hired some time ago to help us challenge Wikipedia, its board, its lawyers. Rarely do people go after the lawyers in a lawsuit. We do. And the editors. You'll hear what she has to say about one of them in a moment. And before we go in studio, just from our environmental segment here today, Antarctica logs the hottest temperature on record with a reading of 18.3 degrees Celsius. That new record set soon after the previous record of 17.5 in March 2015 is a sign warming in Antarctica is happening much faster than the global average. And that's where the largest body of stored ice is. And if that melts, which it is, but we just don't know how long it will take, and all the historical mathematical models have been wrong. I mean, way wrong, like 70 years wrong. So there's 200 feet elevation in sea level when that all melts, and yet no one was paying attention. But then again, 2 years ago, they found a whole series of volcanoes, active volcanoes, underneath Antarctica. So it's been melting from underneath as well as on top. And then there's these gigantic lakes. I mean, talking about huge lakes that were encased in that ice. So what happens when that upper level of protection, ice, melts and you hit the water? Suddenly, all that water's got to go someplace. And it's going to go down and act like DW40 is just going to act like a skid right into the ocean, breaking off those gigantic ice chunks. And we're seeing more and more of that now. And it's accelerating until feedback loops happen. Just letting you know, that's happening there, and the Arctic is melting, and methane gas, trillions of these little holes are suddenly spurting up massive amounts of methane gas out of the Arctic because it's very shallow. And then just off the coast of California, they found, I think, 100 and some holes, and they don't know what it's from. Not good. More volcanic action in the last 3 months than at any time that they've been able to record volcanic action. So things are happening. We can either pay attention to them and see what the message is and what we have to do in an appropriate and timely manner, or we can deny it and go back to watching more Hollywood narcissists walk down a carpet as if somehow walking on a red carpet, having fashion, high fashion couture clothing designed just for them and always mentioning the price, makes them a better person. It does not. But we live in illusion. So that's the latest. Antarctic is melting, and yesterday, hottest day in its recorded history. And by the way, it's easy to do a computation between, conversion between Celsius and Fahrenheit. Let's go over now and say hello to Victoria. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Excellent. Victoria, you have a special report on a person that has been used repeatedly to justify the attacks on everything complementary and alternative, Stephen Barrett. Please share your own original research and article, which will be published today on PRN.fm.
Okay. For everyone out there, I'm Victoria Theofanis. I am in House Counsel for Gary, and we are doing a series of investigative reports on Stephen Barrett to challenge Wikipedia and the skeptics who write for them, and to prove that alternative complementary medicine is here to stay and cannot be kept in the status of fringe science any longer by people like Stephen Barrett, who who has been one of the principal provocateurs in the disparagement of alternative medicine. He is self-righteous with no sense of intellectual curiosity to seek out the truth when it comes to alternative medicine, all the while denigrating those professionals who do have the degrees and the clinical experience and the peer-reviewed studies to back them up. Stephen Barrett, a retired psychiatrist, decided to create web pages with the purported lofty goals of warning the public against alternative medicine, which he labeled as quack medicine. Hence the origin of one of his first web pages and founding of QuackWatch. He seemed to find a niche that had not been exploited and decided to then create other web pages with other similar goals. Hence his creation of Acupuncture Watch, Allergy Watch, Autism Watch, Bioethics Watch, Cancer Treatment Watch, Case Watch, Chelation Watch, Chirobase, Credential Watch, Dental Watch, Device Watch, Diet Scam Watch, Homeo Watch, Infomercial Watch, Internet Health Pilot, Mental Health Watch, MLM Watch, Natura Watch, NCCAM, which is the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine Watch, Nutri Watch, Farm Watch, as well as the NCAHF, which is the National Council Against Health Fraud. All these websites and groups founded by him purport to be your guide to quackery, health fraud, and intelligent decisions. But then came the unprovoked assaults on alternative, complementary, and integrative medicine, healing modalities that I believe Stephen Barrett loathes. Reading his many articles and books, Stephen Barrett is motivated to lambaste them, as they do not comport with his seeming ramrod rigid defense of science-based medicine. As a result of his seeming hatred, including entire fields such as acupuncture, chiropractic, homeopathy, body-mind medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, etc., all of which includes tens of thousands of clinicians and their patients, Barrett, with no training in any of these fields, deems himself the final arbiter of all truth. In Stephen Barrett's world, it is perfectly acceptable for him to have his personal opinion on alternative medicine, but not for the tens of thousands of clinicians working in alternative health fields to show how their successful collective experiences have been, or to shine a light on the tens of thousands of peer-reviewed scientific studies that support these therapies. That is why this series on Stephen Barrett is so important, to expose Barrett as we perceive him as the Joe McCarthy of science-based medicine, and how these Wikipedia editors constantly look to Stephen Barrett as their source of reliable information, and to ask the question, why would anyone today still pay attention to Stephen Barrett, who is not board certified without any nutritional degrees, who is as outdated as a dinosaur? Let us take a look at the following Stephen Barrett statement and reconstruct it. A balanced diet provides the nutrients most people need, and that government guidelines make balancing your diet simple. The above statement sounds plausible and logical, but if you look at it closely, the statement is ludicrous. Perhaps if this were 1932, when the soil was not depleted and the vitamin and mineral content of food was not what it should have been, according to vitamin and mineral charts, we could have guidance as to what to eat and how much of it. But let us take a look at what has happened since then. First, organized large industrial farming started to replace small-scale farming, and with that, large-scale and agricultural practices started to take shape. Farming was starting to become big business, and the small farmer who would till and rotate his plants to replace whatever minerals had become depleted from the soil, and perhaps to do companion planting to keep pests away to help produce a bigger and healthier crop. But on the other hand, the industrial farmer started to have at his disposal pesticides starting in the 40s and began to use artificial fertilizers for a bigger crop. Hence the beginning of mono-industrial farming. And over time, large-scale farming has almost completely taken over the business of producing food. We are also getting our food from places that are not local and could have been farmed thousands of miles away. To keep such produce fresh, farmers place fungicides and spray antibiotics to retard spoilage, as well as pick produce before it is ripe and use coloring agents to give it a ripe and healthy appearance. And with all this, how does, for example, today's orange or any fruit or vegetable compared to one from the past? Not well, according to Scientific American. A landmark study by Donald Davis and his team from the University of Texas at Austin's Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry took nutritional data from both 1950 and 1999 for 43 different vegetables and fruits and found declines in the amount of protein, calcium, phosphorus, iron, riboflavin, and vitamin C over the past half century. Another study by the Cushy Institute found that in 12 fresh vegetables with data from 1975 to 1997, the average calcium levels dropped 19%, iron levels declined 22%, and potassium 14%. And as for that orange, another study cited by the Organic Consumer Association concluded that one would have to eat 8 oranges today to derive the same amount of vitamin A as our grandparents would have gotten from one. And yet, our vitamin and mineral guidelines for all food groups that are found in those food pyramids would have you think that this is 1952, where Truman is president, where families are eating home-cooked meals, and the average American is fit. Fast forward to today's standard American diet, and an honest look would reveal a different society suffering from obesity and chronic disease due to the amount of processed food that people are now consuming and have been for the last 40 years. According to health.gov government dietary guidelines, about half of all American adults, 117 million individuals, have one or more preventable chronic diseases, many of which are related to poor quality eating patterns and physical inactivity. More than two-thirds of adults and nearly one-third of children and youth are overweight or obese. This is an epidemic due to the mass overconsumption of sugar, high fructose corn syrup, trans fats, refined carbohydrates, and fried foods from pizza to French fries to soft drinks. There are 30.3 million diabetics, which is 9.4% of the population, 125 million Americans with cardiovascular disease, which is about 48.5% of Americans, and 1.7 million new cases of cancer annually, with about 609,000 approximately dying each year. 92% of the American public is deficient in at least one mineral or vitamin based on dietary guidelines from the 1950s. When you take into consideration that our diets are no longer balanced due to lifestyle changes that have most Americans eating processed foods on the run, and add to the mix depleted soils that have led to nutritionally inferior food, Stephen Barrett's statement of easily obtaining a balanced diet is a false one that does not reflect the society we live in today. Society, though, is beginning to see the error of its ways when it comes to their health and are beginning to take charge of it through exercise, reading labels, using supplements, and turning toward alternative medicine. Stephen Barrett, on the other hand, wants you to pretend that he talks for the established consensus, which he does not. Nor does Wikipedia, who regards Barrett's attacks on alternative medicine as the gospel truth. The consensus is beginning to turn and is reaching out to alternative medicine as it realizes that conventional medicine is not a panacea. In my opinion, it confirms that Stephen Barrett is an intellectual dinosaur, and what he has to say is out of touch, and his statements and him belong in the past. By the way, Mr. Barrett, this is only the first article of at least 50 that I intend to write about you.
Good for you. And it's time that we the people, we the professionals, we that have the degrees, we that seen tens of thousands of patients each, we who've done the clinical studies, we who have the advanced degrees, we who have the background in laboratories, we who have been invited to scientific conferences to present information on helping people reverse disease, we are now speaking back. Interesting, we've written about 70 articles and letters on Wikipedia. And I have a really powerful one. It's a philosophical one coming out on our next program that I did yesterday. And we look forward, Victoria, for you coming on with each one of yours, because Barrett was accepted by Jane Brody and Consumer Reports as an expert on chiropractic. And so he denigrated chiropractic. On the other side of that, chiropractic was on the ropes. It was literally dead. There was no insurance companies covering it. No state would really acknowledge it. Chiropractors could not visit a public hospital, even though there were public hospitals, to get his patients x-rays, for example. And they had a secret department of investigation run by a guy named Doyle Taylor and Rockthorpe Morton in the basement of the AMA headquarters. This had gone on for 25 years and no one knew it. Their whole aim was to keep chiropractic from being accepted. So it was denigration, denigration, denigration. And the term they used was that the chiropractor was an unscientific cult. And then one day, I received at my doormat an envelope. No information about who sent it. Inside were documents from the AMA headquarters showing this conspiracy. I received a lot of them. There were two of us, Joe Lisa and myself. And I didn't know Joe Lisa. And so I wrote an article. In fact, it was back in the early 1970s. I was the lead author, investigative journalist for Caveat Emptor, America's premier publication on consumer activism. Ralph Nader and I both wrote in that same journal on when I read on chiropractic. And I began to write a series of articles in defense of chiropractic. Some chiropractors picked up on this information, got the articles, got the documents, and with a man named McAndrews, who was a lawyer and a brother of a chiropractic, sued the AMA and 12 other major medical organizations. After years and over 1 million documents through discovery, the AMA lost. The medical organizations lost. They had to officially acknowledge chiropractic was a legitimate healing science and it saved chiropractic. It was then able to be covered by insurance companies, chiropractic schools. In fact, there was a Dr. Chester Stock, who was one of the top directors of the New York Institute of Technology. And I was approached by Dr. Alan Pressman, who was a friend of mine. And he was a chiropractor. And he said, Gary, there's not a chiropractic school in the country nor a chiropractic student that can get an accredited course in nutrition. And we have straights and we have mixers. The straights only do subluxation, meaning they only correct your spine and your neck and et cetera, vertebrae. But there are mixers who would like to do nutrition. So for the next year and a half, I did a syllabus with all the documentation supporting it. Dr. Chester Stock took this through the state, and it became, and people don't know this, it became the first accredited health course at the state level for any chiropractic in the United States in their history. So now chiropractors get backgrounds in clinical nutrition that expanded their ability to help patients. That was at New York State, College of Chiropractic. When I lectured down at Life College and other colleges in Davenport, in Dallas, Palmer, down in Dallas, there's a picture of that on my website, I just remember. There were about 1,000 students there. They were totally unaware of all this, unaware. I remember we didn't have the internet then. I said, you know, we're accredited. We're officially accredited. And they just, their jaws dropped. And that then meant that all the chiropractic schools in America could now teach courses and did. And about, I was on my way to California to premiere a film on where I was at for over 33 years in KPFK, and which I did as a fundraiser for him. And I was asked, could I just stop off for an hour and LA or in Las Vegas, since it was on the way. I said, fine. So I stopped off. And I went into a room that I thought I was going to be meeting some chiropractors, you know, 5 or 10. There was 10,000. And the whole thing was to say thank you. And that I was very humbled by that. And I was very appreciative. And the whole evening was talking about they were literally dead in the water. And this completely rejuvenated, resuscitated, and gave it an ability to get back on his feet. Now we're going to do the same thing for homeopathy, Ayurvedic, the body-mind therapies. We're going through every single one. Richard Gale, myself, we're doing all the research. We're writing the articles. These are scholarly articles. These are not just opinion pieces. And we've written over 70. Please read them, download them, and share them. But also we're going after the doctors who've been pillared, who have been attacked, whose reputation's destroyed with no opportunity to change anything by the people on Wikipedia. It is my personal opinion that Wikipedia is nothing more than a weaponized website for Google. And I will prove that in my next article. So now we the people must realize if you do not protect your freedom of choice, one day you will not have it. So none of this is done because we have nothing better in life to do. This is done because entire professions are being attacked, and Stephen Barrett has been the leading voice with no background that I can find of contributing to quality of our lives. And he's denigrating people from Harvard, from Yale, from Columbia, from Princeton, from the best schools who've spent 20, 30, 40, 50 years in the field. Well, now we're giving a voice, far more objective than Consumer Reports. I will not ever again read Consumer Reports because of them allowing Barrett to be the expert on chiropractic and on supplements, something he has no background in. Anyhow, thank you very much, Vicki, and Victoria, we look forward to your upcoming 50 articles challenging Stephen Barrett and then Dr. Gorski and Novella and others are being challenged as we speak by Richard Gale.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Thank you very much. I look forward to it also.
So we are on the offensive. No longer will I or anyone else apologize for doing what orthodox medicine has failed miserably in its attempts and trillions of dollars. They can't cure disease the way we can, and yet they get all the credit for failing. They're not blamed for failing. They're rewarded for it. We're given no credit when we reverse disease. But that's now. Who knows in 5 or 10 years? But if you think that you're going to have your freedom of choice unless you protest, you won't. Before we go to a clip that I want to play, we have Dr. Roy Spicer, I was just told, is online. And I want to go over to Roy. Hi, Roy. By the way, Roy is not only an expert in water science, he has a PhD from Rutgers University in bacteriology, but also he is very focused upon, and much of his over 35 years in the field has been on infections, contamination, things of that sort. Earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, we offered something that we had not offered in 10 years, and now it's a brand new unit. And that was the Mini Mate. And within, I think it was something like an hour and 20 minutes, we sold out. We had 50 of them. That's all I could get. And they were gone. They're coming in on Monday, and they'll be shipped right out. But I managed to get us another 150. Now, what is this? This is a special little tiny, very powerful filter that you wear around your neck. It creates a barrier about a foot and a half around the body. Trillions of ions per second are created. There's nothing like this. And that, therefore, you can breathe safe, clean air anywhere you go. It's been scientifically validated. I'm going to let Roy tell you about that. University of Cincinnati and other places, UCLA, the Travel Medicine Center, etc. And this Mini Mate is a non-thermal ionic corona discharge plasma filter. And it's compact, it's lightweight. I wear it everywhere because of all the lectures I do, the traveling I'm doing. When I got on an airplane and suddenly I see people coughing and not covering their mouth, and people asleep and just sneezing and coughing, you're in an incubator. You're susceptible. Now, I do everything I can do. I'll put a tiny little bit of coconut oil on my lips and nostrils, and I'll take some in my mouth. Colloidal silver I'll spray every hour. But I always wear my ionic air filter. Now, if I'm in a place that's very dangerous, I'll wear a mask, a special mask, and my ionic air filter. Actually enhances it. And so when you consider today what's in our air, the dust, the molds, the smoke, the germs, the pathogens, the perfumes, the odors, the pollen, the allergens. Why wouldn't you want to wear something like this? Especially since we're not seeming to take a lot of the infections that we are experiencing in our lives seriously. I mean, just 2 weeks ago in my office in New York, half the staff came down with flu. Now, I was able to help them once they told me. And I was able to help him prevent any further people from coming down, and it worked. But this wasn't the first time I had explained to people what to do. And not only does my own family not listen to me, but my employees don't listen either sometimes. But I would have told them, look, you're on a subway, you're on a bus, you're on a train, you're in an elevator. What if the person just got off the elevator, has a flu virus, or just got a flu vaccine and is shedding? That's in the air. That's on surface areas. When you hit the button, did you contaminate yourself? So these are the things that concern me. And I'm very concerned that we had better pay a lot better attention to what we're doing with hygiene. Like, people thought it was always strange when they come in, I make them take off their shoes and wear flip-flops in my house or apartment. When I'm on the phone, I spray alcohol on it and then rub it down. Keyboard, every day, twice a day. Everything I touch, because I'm making animal food in the morning. When you're all asleep at 4 o'clock, I'm out there in the barn making all the animals their special diets to keep them healthy. 15 times I'll wash my hands, and then I massage them with coconut oil to keep the skin fine. But I know, and I even go in and spray out with hydrogen peroxide and alcohol all the door handles of all the refrigerators. All the surface areas are sprayed. Hygiene is one of the best ways in the world we could prevent a lot of problems we'd otherwise end up with these microorganisms getting into our body. But the best thing I do is the air contaminants can be removed up to 90% from my breathing zone with this compact. It's a little black. It has a little necklace. You just put it on. I wear it every time I go in the public. It's just nobody notices because it's black, and I'm wearing black for that reason, and you just don't see it. It's called the Mini Mate. Roy, tell us what your research has found about the Mini Mate.
Specifically, the Mini Mate was tested by the University of Cincinnati Aerosol Department. That's the University of Cincinnati. And there were several published studies. The summary of three studies, one was in the Journal of Indoor Air, the other was in the Journal of Aerosol Science. The bottom line is the Mini Ionic is specifically designed for personal respiratory protection by targeting particles in the human breathing zone. This model particularly is designed to operate in a confined space such as an automobile, aircraft cabin, bathroom, office, and small confinement areas. The conclusion of Dr. Grinspun and his staff of three or four PhDs who published the study was that the concentration of ions, the amount of ions that are produced, is a critical part of reducing aerosol particles. In other words, the more particles you produce by the unit, the greater the reduction of aerosol particles in your breathing space. So essentially, the ions imparted by the unit charge any particles in your breathing area within a foot and a half to 2 feet, and these particles then repel each other out of your breathing zone, and it attracts the nearby surfaces. So when you're in an indoor environment, it could be any indoor environment where there's mold or pollen, germs, viruses, bacteria, odors, if you're wearing the Mini Ionic and you leave it on you, and let's say you're stationary for a half hour to an hour, you're going to reduce greater than 90% of the particles in your breathing zone. So this is a great item to protect yourself from airborne aerosol, whether it's non-biological or biological particles that affect your exposure. You want to reduce your exposure to all these particles in your breathing space. So it's a very good, effective strategy in addition to other strategies that reduce your potential for inhaling infectious particles. So the unit that you have is the best one on the market. There have been some knockoff products out there that don't produce anywhere near the ions generated by the Mini Mate. You have 120 million trillion ions per second being produced. That's incredibly high amount of particles. So that can really attack and attract out any particles in your breathing space. So particularly now with risks of all kinds of infections going on, I strongly suggest that this is an item you keep around for your personal protection. You should have one all the time, regardless of, you know, whether there's infections out there during flu season or other infectious diseases floating around. It will protect you anywhere you're operating equipment. Let's say if you're in an office and you have a computer, sometimes there's ozone generated, other particles that are generated, or copy machines. It creates potentials for inhaling substances that are toxic, and this will protect you. So I highly recommend it.
Roy, wasn't it also true that a ship came in, a true ship over New Jersey, and they quarantined it, but then the team that went in to check to see if anybody was infected had no protective gear on, none.
I saw that this morning. It was in Bayonne, New Jersey. A cruise ship came in. EMS people came onto the ship. And when you're in a high-risk infectious environment, you should have protective gear on. They do this all the time in hospitals. when you're entering an infection control environment. So I didn't see that. What also concerns me is that today they're going to be landing a plane from China with Americans on it, 300 passengers that were in the viral city. They're in the Wuhan area. They're going to be quarantined. My other concern is that with previous infectious diseases, sometimes the two-week contamination or isolation period is not enough to protect people from transmitting the disease. So there's a lot of questions here whether or not there's going to be an outbreak in the U.S. It's obviously exponentially increasing in China. You know, the reported cases are probably a lot lower than what the numbers are giving. There are over 30 or 40,000 cases now, about 5,000 severe cases. The death toll they're reporting is 630, but I'm sure it's a lot higher. So regardless of what's going on in the rest of the world, I think here in the United States, they're doing a lot of things to protect us, but it's always good to have protective gear, not wait for the last minute and be reactive rather than proactive.
I agree. I managed to get 150 units. That will probably be it for quite some time because the person said all the other units are going overseas. And the same with masks. I've got an order in for masks. These are not your normal masks. These are not your drugstore mask or your supermarket mask. These are the highest quality containment masks. When those are in, I'll let you know. But right now, like I do, everywhere you go where there's people and you could get contaminants in your airspace, use the MiniMate, Gary and All MiniMate Personal Ionic. Here's the phone number to call. And when we're out of the 150, we're going to be out for a while. But this, we should get in within the next 2 weeks. Those of you who've called in already, yours will go out on Tuesday. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065, including postage and handling. It's $109. And we'll probably sell out within the next hour, but everyone else will just have to wait a couple months till the others come in. 877-627-5065. Now, what you're doing now today, it's not going to be shipped today. It'll be shipped in about 2 weeks when it comes in. I got 150 coming in. The ones that we did get, the 50, and then I got another 30, those will be shipped out on Monday. But then this group today, that'll be shipped out in around 2 weeks, but then there's going to be a long lag time after that because of things happening that are causing a greater demand for this. And there's a lot of knockoffs and copies. This is the real McCoy. This is the best. 877-627-5065 for the MiniMate, M-I-N-I, MiniMate, M-A-T-E, Personal Ionic Air Filter. Thank you, Roy.
You're welcome,
Gary. We're going to go to our guest in just a second. But Luann's on the line, and she wanted to put the word out for something. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Quick announcement to your audience. I've had a lot of people, you know, I've been doing a lot of interviews for the anti-aging group, but I have openings for the retreat still. So if people are interested in coming to your retreat, give me a call. I'll go over everything with you. And also, I've had a number of people ask me if they could try out and be one of our chefs. So we've had some amazing chefs. We've had Leonard. We've had Michael. Cindy, Claire. We've just had some wonderful chefs. It's a phenomenal experience to be able to take the recipes right out of your books, put them together in front, and watch people just their face light up when they're eating this gourmet vegan cuisine. So if you're a chef and you're interested in an experience down at the villa, give me a call. I am at 903-881-7008, 903-881-7008. If you're a chef and you want to come on down and be a part of our experience, or if you want to sign up for the retreat.
Okay, the retreat is not the anti-aging program. That's a different program, both at the same location, totally different. And the retreat is a fundraiser for this wonderful radio station. And it's a lot of fun. It's de-stressing and relaxing, being close to nature. So that's that. Thank you, Luann. We're going to take a break and come right back with our guest. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Gary Knoll. My guest is on the line, and we're going to take a look at the dirty part of the politics of medicine in California. My guest is Ken Stoller. I gave you his background earlier, and the question, nice to have you with us today, Ken.
Thanks, Gary.
Why is the state of California harassing you and other physicians who give temporary or permanent medical exemptions based upon what you see as the medical necessity for being vaccinated, and they're saying somehow you shouldn't be able to do that? And I want to know why you shouldn't be able to do that.
Well, it's a political situation where a law was passed in 2015 that eliminated religious and personal belief exemptions for parents in the state of California, but had a very liberal medical exemption policy, or it was supposed to, but that was not really the intention of the bill's authors. The intention was to get rid of any way anyone could avoid getting vaccinated. In other words, removal of informed consent, because if you didn't get vaccinated, you couldn't go to school. And if it doesn't matter how much information someone gives you, if they're saying, but if you don't do it, you lose one of your rights. That's not informed consent anymore. That's called coercion. So to get this initial bill passed to remove the personal belief exemptions in the state of California, what they did was they feigned or created this false impression that it was going to be easy to get medical exemptions. You go to any doctor in the state, there was no list of things you could or couldn't do. And even if there was a genetic association in a remote relative, that might qualify somebody for a medical exemption. But that was to get the bill passed. And as soon as the bill got passed, one of the bill's authors, Senator Pan, immediately started crying, the doctors who are writing medical exemptions are all fraudsters because they're not following CDC contraindication guidelines. Well, contraindications from the CDC were edited out of that 2015 law, but that doesn't seem to have mattered to Dr. Pan and his cohorts at the CDC and the California Department of Health. So, in a sense, you have lured physicians into doing something, and then you put their heads on the chopping block for doing it, and they immediately came back with another law saying, hey, it has to be CDC contraindications. Now, the interesting thing is there hasn't been any safety testing on the vaccines. So how do you come up with guidelines, CDC or no, if you haven't done adequate safety testing? And I know there was a RICO lawsuit that was just recently settled by three insurance companies where they paid members of the Infectious Disease Society of America to come up with guidelines that would say there's no such thing as chronic Lyme disease. You don't have to pay or reimburse patients for getting treated for chronic Lyme disease. So it's an example of the shenanigans that go on in the background, you know, with these guidelines, if they're not scientifically based. And basically, science is bought these days. You pay for the science, and you essentially bribe people. So that's the situation in California. There's many, many doctors under investigation. I just happen to be the first one who's going before a hearing. And when you have so many physicians supposedly doing something that's not kosher all at the same time, the problem isn't with the physician. The problem is with the instructions that they were given, that there's a problem with the system. But we'll have to see what happens.
We have taken on the draconian vaccine bills that California Senator Richard Pan, the very gentleman you just mentioned, has rammed through the state legislature to remove religious exemptions and mandate vaccines before. Then there's the bill that puts the authority of determining who and who cannot be medically exempted into the hands of essentially state bureaucrats instead of the patient's physicians. And as a result, the California Medical Board has targeted you for giving temporary and permanent immunization exemptions to 11 individuals. Now, this was perfectly legal under the earlier bill, SB 277, but Penn, correct, as you mentioned, had that replaced with SB 276 and SB 714, and as I understand it, under the ambiguity of those bills, they are finding cause to revoke your medical license. Together, these two later bills pose threats to physicians who give vaccine medical exemptions. So that's terrible. Have you, anyone out there yet, got together with patients and advocacy groups and done an original investigation into the background of Dr. Pan to see what's in his background, if any pharmaceutical company met with him and its representatives, were any of the legislators in the state given money by the very vaccine makers that are now mandated vaccines? And if so, why hasn't anyone brought that up, that it's a pay-to-play, if that's the case, where the number of people who've said yes to the mandated vaccines also just coincidentally, I guess, receive money from the vaccine makers? Your thoughts?
Which, you know, and that's perfectly legal. You know, corporations are allowed to contribute money to politicians and funnel money to them one way or another, either through the California Medical Association. So sometimes the money gets laundered through the California Medical Association, so you don't have to see where the actual donor who the donor was. No one has actually investigated his background or his connections. Now we are going to subpoena Dr. Pan because he has a lot of questions to answer to. He has some very strange beliefs. He does not believe any child has died from a vaccine. He believes that the most dangerous ingredient in a vaccine is water. He does not believe that aborted human fetal cells are used in the manufacture of the vaccine. And he has spewed that kind of disinformation or misinformation and many other fallacies to the legislators who don't know. I mean, this is a pediatrician talking to them, right? So if he says this, go, oh, he must know what he's talking about. He's a pediatrician. But he has basically hornswoggled legislators into doing something with a lot of misinformation, and yet he accuses his colleagues of monetizing their license and trying to protect medically fragile kids from being injured from vaccines that they might not do well with, because he has an agenda, and his agenda is to eliminate any kind of exemptions for vaccines in the state of California. And you have to understand, and even though it's technically possible now to get a medical exemption, assuming you meet the very narrow CDC guidelines, the medical board and Dr. Pan have practically scared all the physicians in the state of California into not writing medical exemptions because they don't want to come under scrutiny. So there are no medical exemptions being written in the state of California right now.
I wouldn't live in the state of California. I just find it, for many reasons, including I don't want to support non-sustainability as a personal responsibility. That's a separate issue. But I just find I'm so sick of New York and New Jersey corruption in the body politic, and California's right there with them. It's a triumvirate of dysfunction. When Bonnie Faulkner and I were going to go on a non-commercial radio program to talk about why the bill should not be passed, the station engaged in a preemption of our right of freedom of speech and barred us from that. That's Pacifica. That's not unusual. But what's happening goes back to the 1970s when the state board of medical examiners would harass and rip the license away and even imprison. Dr. Privateer is a good example of imprisoning. Dr. Halstead, courageous physicians helping their patients, and yet they were the ones harassed, not the patients who died because of over-medication or iatrogenesis. So it's just not a good place to be a physician if you want to use the more progressive medical way of helping a patient. That's just my personal opinion. Your final thoughts, please.
Well, you're right. But the thing is, Dr. Pan lured his colleagues into thinking they had the liberty, the authority to write these medical exemptions based on their personal judgment on whether it was safe for any individual child. And that didn't turn out to be true. He basically was lying when he gave that kind of carte blanche, there isn't a list of things you can't or can't exempt for. I mean, he said many things to give reassurance to physicians who were writing medical exemptions. And it's a sting. It was a sting operation for political reasons.
Why don't you do a little mini documentary on Dr. Pan and have him, in his own words, so it's fair, let him make his statements and then show the actual facts that would challenge and deconstruct him, and then send that to all the media in the state of California and send it to every single member of the legislature, send it to every member of the state medical board. You're not going to win on the defensive. Nobody wins in life on the defensive. You've got to get aggressive.
Yeah, and there have been video clips of him, compilations of all the misrepresentations he's made. But, it can be sent to the media, but you think the media is not controlled by special interests?
Yes, much of the media is, but all you're looking for is so much proof that someone has not represented the truth and has manipulated the system that they have to do something. And then get it out to the average citizen. Look, if the average citizen of California was looking for becoming intentionally aware of the issues on vaccines, this bill would never have passed. But like everywhere else, you only become a part of the group that questions the safety and efficacy of vaccines after the fact, never before. And that's what we need. We need people to become aware. So if a person chooses not to be aware and just wants to believe in authority, then you're in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong support system and with the wrong idea. And I would find another place that's more open and hospitable to your way of practicing medicine. Ken, we wish you well. Are you going to film all this? Is the hearing being filmed?
I'm not aware of any plans to film it yet, but I will talk to my attorney.
Film it. You got to get tough with these guys. If you get Pan and you're able to deconstruct, your lawyer's able to deconstruct every argument he has, and then you put that up on social media and that goes viral, not just in California, but all across the United States, that will make people like Pan a little resistant. And also now Pan, I believe, is one of the people promoting mandatory vaccines for adults. Imagine the consequences of that.
That's the agenda.
We wish you all the best, Dr. Ken Stoller. We look forward to hearing the outcome. Dr. Ken Stoller, very brave person, not afraid to stand up, but you got to remember, you got to go after them. You can't run, you can't hide, because these people, that's how they gain their power. That's how state legislators gain power. But when you have thousands of people outside the state legislature, and you go on local radio talk shows and you put out information on that legislator, it gets their attention. Doing nothing, they win. I'm Gary Anall. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day.